This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year, because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces, like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
This hour is sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency? Call the plumbing professionals, available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911.
Anthony Herron, Score football analyst.
I was in the green room at the Big Ten Network last night, and then when the moment happened that Caleb Williams went deep, threw the bomb to DJ Moore, at that point I was all yelled out. I was just exhausted by then with all the different screens and the stimulus and the notes and just seeing that. I was actually quiet at that point. The touchdown at the end of regulation, I let out the big yell. The touchdown that closed the show, I let an exhale, so I didn't know what else to do.
Former NFL defensive lineman and Iowa Hawkeye.
Anthony Herron receives credit for it. Tenacious job by Anthony Herron, number 99.
Mr. Hedden, I want to compliment you. You're doing a fine job.
Big and Herron on 670 The Score.
Anthony Herron is never scared of talking to us. This is Raheemi Harris and Grody on 670 The Score. Anthony Herron, as you heard, the former Iowa Hawkeye, NFL defensive lineman, analyst for us at 670 The Score, analyst for Fox 32, and he's on Big Ten Network. Anthony joins us via the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. And we have more breaking news on this Black Monday.
Dang.
Yeah. Oh, nice gasp, man. And now we turn to Anthony Herron for reaction. I don't know if it's as dramatic as your reaction. The Cardinals, according to Adam Schefter, have fired head coach Jonathan Gannon. Arizona closed the season with 9 straight losses. They were 15-36 under Gannon, including losing 14 of his final 15 games this season.
Is that bad?
Okay.
Is that bad, Ant? Is that bad?
I retract my gasp. I think we're good. Sans gasp for that news.
From a gasp to a sigh.
Huh. I got some breaking news for you, Ant. The Bears' defense isn't very good. What's good?
Gasp, also retracted. I think that's news we've been struggling with for a bit here, is the Bears' defense has been struggling on the field. And it's been so situational when we think about the moments that they've been able to rise up. And it is legitimately a defense that plays hard. They're just, if it's not the takeaway itself, I mentioned this to you guys a few weeks ago where, you know, I got Olin Kreutz and his big football brain. He was talking earlier in the season about, like, what is the Bears offense without the takeaways from the defense. And I say, yeah, that's a good point. And then my brain immediately went to, well, what is this defense without the takeaways either? Because there hasn't been that consistent stretch of dominance against the run. And that's really what structurally, both in alignment and in heft on the edge, is what Dennis Allen hopes his defense can accomplish. But then you lose some of that heft that you have on the edge, and they're not in a position to put the opponent into predictable downs and distances consistently. So at least if you can hit blocks well enough on first and second down, then you can earn the right to rush the quarterback on third down, and you can get your, you know, kind of NASCAR type personnel on the field. That's where Austin Booker is best suited right now to be your guy who takes the field, yes, as a backup rotational piece on some of the early downs, but on third downs is where, at this point in his career, at this point in his development, he's best suited for, but he's been thrust into this role of being an every down defensive end. And a lot of other guys like Chris Williams, who's, you know, trying to play the edge in a way where they added the heft of Shamar Turner, moving him out to the defensive end position. But it is different when you're accustomed to playing defensive tackle and things happen, like when Detroit's going with some crack toss during the game and Williams just isn't recognizing it well enough. They're motioning from outside in, and he's the guy who's supposed to really be setting a firm edge, supposed to dent the edge of the offense, and he doesn't recognize the block that's coming at him from outside in, and so it gives the corner to Detroit. So there's a lot of that that's happening within the defensive front. And it makes the lives of the linebackers harder because everything is so lateral when you don't have a D line that's really winning the point of attack.
Yeah, and two weeks in a row where, starting with San Francisco last week, dominating on third down or making many big plays on third down in San Fran, one of the best, you know, teams in the league in that regard. But, you know, looking at Detroit, 6 of 13 on third down. What I want to ask you specifically, because it just looked like Jared Goff and Amon-Ra St. Brown were just playing catch out there. St. Brown, 11 catches for 139 yards. Don't get it twisted. He's great. Like, Amon-Ra St. Brown is one of the best receivers in football. So I understand that. But what was happening in that game yesterday with the Bears secondary? What did you see?
It surprised me that we so frequently saw Amon-Ra St. Brown, who operates primarily out of the slot,
yeah,
just matched up time and time again in man coverage with CeeDee Deuce. And we know that CeeDee Deuce, we know that he's a guy who's struggled this season being sticky with receivers on the longer developing routes, especially. In short area, I think he's fine because he's physical and he's got a good sense for spacing and landmarks, is my impression. But once there's a little bit of time for a QB to pat a football, once the route continues to develop longer, that's where a lack of catch-up speed, make-up speed, really shows up if he's not kind of guessing where the route is going to take him. And there was just too much opportunity for Amon-Ra St. Brown to just route him up in free space. And I was surprised that there wasn't more adjustment in game. It put me in the mind frame, and I have no idea if this was the thought, but I go back to like the San Francisco game last week that was very pocket-based on offense for the Bears. And the Bears' offense last night throughout the entire first half, the passing attack was very pocket-based. And it makes me wonder a little bit, I had a similar thought on defense, are they just trying to work on something here? Is it, let's let Caleb develop from the pocket, just getting him reps here because we kind of know that we've got the playoff thing locked up. So let's get better. Let's get more time on task in this area. And I wonder if last night was that. Like, we're not necessarily impacted in a real negative way if this game doesn't go well. So let's just, we'll keep Kevin Byard as your deep safety and just try to keep a lid on this thing. But aside from that, we're going to go man coverage and just try to get some reps in man and just see if we can improve in this regard. And, you know, wasn't just CeeDee Gardner-Johnson. I mean, Jalen Johnson understandably does not look like the Jalen Johnson he's been throughout his entire career before the surgery. And he's just not moving with the same suddenness. And I wonder if going in, they said, let's just get some of these guys some reps in man, even if it's not going that well. I mean, they were forcing double-digit play drives. They weren't giving up chunk touchdowns, so they were forcing Detroit to go the long field. But I was surprised with the volume of man coverage we saw, and that's where my brain went to, maybe that's the explanation for it, just wanting to get some work in that.
Our segment with Anthony Heron here on Rahimi Harrison Grody is sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency? Call the plumbing professionals available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. And Ant, I'm so glad you mentioned the purposeful pocket presence that we saw Caleb Williams have. I think it goes back to the first game against the Packers. I was noticing that even then, but it seemed like there was a deliberate push from Ben Johnson in the offense to have a more pocket-heavy game and concept for Caleb Williams in that game, the second game against the Packers, like you said, the 49ers game, and even what we saw yesterday. And I even noticed that there were formations that they were running previously, like the bully formation that we talked a lot about that's gotten attention in the last 2 months, or even some of the I formation runs that they've used. None of that was happening. He did talk about a simplified game plan, but there does seem to be some sort of work in progress element to the offense.
Well, if we've learned nothing else about Ben Johnson, we do know that he's a planner and he's a preparer. He's not a perfectionist. He's a preparationist. So everything he does seems to have a purpose behind it. Doesn't mean it always works. And it doesn't mean every decision he makes ends up, you know, being the right one. But there's a plan and a purpose behind it. And I think we've discovered that. We've witnessed that so consistently this season. And as a quarterback develops, to be able to operate from within the pocket gives you more options, more opportunity to attack the full field. And so there's no doubt Caleb has developed in that regard throughout the season. And so I think it can go hand in hand where Ben Johnson, as Caleb has begun to execute better, seeing the full field, getting the ball out of his hands with accuracy and touch from within the pocket, then it makes sense to call more of that because you can access more playmakers, you can threaten the defense in a wider variety of ways. But what got the offense rolling in the second half of the game was when they got the pocket moving. That was where things really seemed to pick up some extra juice. And it's frankly surprised me, folks, throughout the entire season here that we haven't seen more tempo from the Bears. They sprinkled a little bit of it in yesterday. And, you know, if you end up behind the chains or if you end up with a penalty or anything like that, if you don't pick up a first down, especially when your defense is struggling, tempo doesn't do a lot for you. Tempo just puts the tired defense back on the field more quickly for another double-digit play drive. But for the Bears offense, I feel like there's been moments this season where I thought maybe this is a chance to attack with some up-tempo earlier in the season. The offense is so vast and all the players are so new in it that they didn't really get to it then. I have been surprised here as the comfort from all the playmakers and the offensive line and the young quarterback, as that's obviously enhanced, I thought we'd see some more tempo mixed in from the Bears at certain points, but that's probably just that counterbalance that Ben Johnson is working through with. If we go tempo on offense before we really need to, then how does that impact our defense? How does that impact our ability to play the game at a tempo that really suits this version of the Bears? But I do wonder if that's in the back of Ben Johnson's mind, just to say that when we go 2 minute, when we go hurry up, when we're in these late game situations, we flourish in them. So maybe we sprinkle some of that in the first half of the games a little more frequently.
Anthony Heron joins us each and every week here on Rahimi Harrison Grody. You can catch him anywhere. The man is omnipresent. 670 The Score, Fox 32, Big Ten Network. He's everywhere, and I'm glad he's here with us today. And it's a simple question because I'm looking at it like a guy who understands that this defense cannot stop anybody. Should they have gone for it on 4th and 5 from their own 31? Because I think they should have, because even if you don't get it, you give up points, who cares? At least your offense is back on the field with a chance to even things up, send it to overtime at worst.
I think that's the aspect of it, is that you bring the preceding drive to a head more quickly either way. It's kind of like going back to my days in the Arena Football League, where there's times where, and you can't just try an onside kick whenever you want to in the NFL anymore, as you guys know, but to be able to get the end of game scenario rolling, just kind of similar to where, you know, it seemed like apparently Andrew Billings just went ahead and jumped off sides just to get back to first down, to bring the drive to a head more quickly and kind of get back to where you're in possession of the football. And that was a part of what would happen in Arena Football, where you just try an onside kick, even if you don't recover it, but you know that next series is going to be over, whether you stop them or if they score points, but you're getting the rock back to sort of get the possession battle back in your favor, at least have a chance to do that with more time remaining here. And I did think that that fourth down was one that he – it looked like he strongly considered it. I get it either way, and it's one of the things I respect about Ben Johnson is that he's not just some full-on kind of numbers nerd who goes full metrics. He tries to factor in the game flow with that, and that's one could have gone either way with it. I was a little surprised he didn't go for it, but it's not one that I kind of have a big issue with him not going for. But, it would have been an aggressive call from that field position. That's where my sensibilities as a dinosaur still sit with, it's a little bit aggressive, but the defense wasn't coming up with stops. So I think it would have made sense.
The reason I asked that question is to set this one up. If that same situation comes up this week, is it not going to be the call to go for it? I mean, you saw him mouthing it as they went to break, like, should have gone for it.
Isn't it? But also, it's kind of a heat check thing. Like, you can't measure a heat check as directly in football as you can in basketball.
I think that's definitely accurate, and the overall game situation matters as well. You know, not only the down and distance and the score of the game, but how is your defense playing? And that's where for yesterday's decision, where your defense just isn't getting off the field. Even when you bring the blitz to apply pressure, Jared Goff is seeing it and getting it out of his hands before the pressure really gets to him and getting it out with accuracy. Really, really impressive game from a really impressive quarterback in Jared Goff. But it's kind of like there's faint praise for Goff for as exceptional as he's been throughout much of his career, especially his time in Detroit. That was a chilly game yesterday. Yeah, he had the double gloves on, but didn't seem to bother his accuracy or his timing or the heat, the velocity he could put on the football when he needed to, and even under blitz pressure. And occasionally the pass rush even got home. There was a few times where the Bears were winning some rushes to get to Goff up front. And as the pocket collapsed around him, he was still able to get the football out to Amon-Ra St. Brown and others and hit runner's balls to him as well. So, I think that for Ben Johnson, how your defense is playing matters as much as anything in those moments, because if you're going to make an aggressive fourth down decision like that when you haven't even gotten near midfield, then usually it's going to be because you don't have faith that you're going to get the stop. And that's cool. Just read that within the construct of that particular game. So I won't assume that the next time he definitely goes for it, unless, the factors of how the defense is playing are very similar as well.
This segment with Anthony Herron on Raheemy Harrison Grody is sponsored by Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. It appears to me, Big Ant, that the Bears have themselves an absolute gem in Colston Loveland. Another 10 catches for 91 yards yesterday. I had a touchdown. I know he had a bad drop as well yesterday. I won't leave that out. And then this from Larry Mayer as well. Colston Loveland is the first rookie to lead the Bears in receiving yards, which he did, in a season since Willie Gault in 1983.
Speedy Willie.
Speedy Willie, man.
World class.
Oh, hell yeah. He's the one that kind of got this Super Bowl shuffle rolling. He was the guy. And the first rookie tight end, this is about to get heavy, guys. The first rookie tight end to do it since Hall of Famer Mike Ditka in 1961. These are not small things that Colston Loveland is accomplishing. How excited are you about his development and what this guy is going to be? Because it appears he could be a monster.
That combination, Colston Loveland, Caleb Williams, where they took the game over in the second half in a similar way to what Jared Goff and Amon-Ra St. Brown just became this unstoppable pair for much of the game, especially in the first half, but certainly moments in the second half too. And, not every game is necessarily going to dictate that Colston Loveland gets that volume of targets, but at his position as a tight end, and I love the fact that Cole Kmet, he got his yesterday as well. Loveland was the one with more targets and bigger plays, but he's the better pass receiver between the two of them, and I think that's fine because Cole Kmet still had his role within things also, and I thought Tom Brady did a really nice job on the two-point conversion of kind of displaying and describing where Cole Kmet was just a part of the blocking package initially, and then you saw him and Kamanunga, and everybody's on the ground, and Kmet's like, oh, well, there's Caleb. I know how he rolls. Let me just get out in the route tree, see what happens here, and it worked out for the Bears because of that improvisational act that they tend to perform well. But for Loveland, we knew he'd be a matchup problem as a route runner coming into this thing. And just to learn the offense, especially after having an offseason where he couldn't be there getting the full speed reps with everyone else, he's progressed steadily throughout the year. And I'm excited to see where things go with him as his body continues to mature physically. I mean, he's already a more than willing and capable blocker from a tight end perspective anyway. But then how much more as his frame kind of fills out where he's still a rookie right now, just a few years of college football and missed a bunch of time there. But he could become a really, really big issue as he just fills out that much more. And he'll still have that same fluidity and burst, the suddenness and separation, and those hands with that long wingspan that's there in his ability to reach out and snatch the rock. There's a confidence that Caleb has in trying to fit the football into him because of his build and because of the consistency that he grabs the ball with.
I think we found a new nickname, the big issue for Colston Loveland. That's not bad.
I don't hate that.
Actually, that's one of the better ones I've heard recently.
Really good.
Also, yeah. I saw him walking out of Au Cheval on Saturday. So somebody give that man more hamburgers.
Oh.
Burger it up. He should probably should go with the fried bologna sandwich. That's
it's so good. Low key. Just
somebody get Colston Loveland the gift card to Au Cheval because that was incredible. And I took French for many years and I just can't call it Au Cheval and I can't call it LaCroix. I can't do it. I'm not that intense Vive about it, but I can't. People will be like, Layla, it's Au Cheval. And I'm like, no, it is not.
Je m'appelle.
Chicago eyes. It's Cheval.
Yeah.
Excusez-moi, s'il vous plaît.
And I'll go with you to an extent, but just not all the way. Not all the way.
Ferme la bouche.
Point being, though, yes, shut your, well, what'd you said shut the mouth.
That's what she said.
Like, vote or votre is the... Anyway, the point being, get the big issue more hamburgers.
The big issue.
Okay?
That's so good.
And I think you're on to that one. More all with right. Anthony Heron coming up next here on Raheemy Harrison Grody as we continue to break down the Bears game against the Lions. And we have a playoff game to discuss. So we'll do it all next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven. Fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Raheemy Harrison Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. We are joined by, for a second segment, Anthony Heron. He is our analyst for 670 The Score. He hosts shows. He's on Fox 32. He's on Big Ten Network. And he's on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago 670 The Score. Are we all just vibing to the music right now?
I am. I don't know what it is doing out
there. Head nod situation.
What is this?
Let me go to my Twitch real quick.
Do I have to get my Shazam out?
No, man. This is Atomic Dog.
Come on, man.
George Clinton and the P-Funk All-Stars.
I got blind spots. You know, I don't know everything.
I thought you knew everything the way you're coming at me.
Diaz is on the ones and twos today, so that is courtesy of Ray.
Fair, Marshall.
Yeah, you're coming with it.
It's fair.
Alanis Morissette.
You're Morissette?
Come on, man.
That's fair.
There it is.
Oh, the dog.
We needed some ant singing. I hate. There it is.
Some of us are on the same page.
It's okay. No, I was happy hearing the song, and now I have to ask Ann about the defense, and it just is not.
They ain't got that dog in them right now. I can tell you that.
That's it. Okay, so here's where I'm at with this. Is either I'm like, oh, zone isn't good. I understand the coaching staff's decision to be like, let's do more man. Ooh. But man wasn't good either.
Man in the middle.
I don't know what to do.
Man in the middle of the field, big ant.
Yeah, it's a problem. It is. When neither coverage from a general perspective is lending results. And kind of like I alluded to in the previous segment, it's not like the Bears never impacted the pocket. But you did have a version of Jared Goff that was able to backtrack a little bit, just get away from the rush enough to get the football out of his hands, or sometimes operate within a muddy pocket. And that's just life in the NFL at times, where you have talented quarterbacks, talented pass catchers, and they're going to make plays. They're going to drive the long field at times. And we saw the Bears, you know, the Kevin Byard interception. There was a first down sack that got Detroit behind the chains. That's the biggest issue to me. It's one thing to not be as sticky in coverage as we kind of came into the season expecting this secondary would be, but to not have more plays on the opposing side of the line of scrimmage, both on passing downs and running downs, it just makes the life of your second and third level so much easier when there's just all kinds of havoc and chaos in the face of the quarterback. From your down linemen, from your front four, when the offensive line has, you know, jerseys and colors flashing across your face and the quarterback feels like that there's just bodies all around him, then that can speed up their process when things are frenetic in that way. But when it's more hit or miss, when there's the occasional first down or the occasional third down where there's kind of bodies penetrating or leaking through, then especially veteran quarterbacks like Jared Goff are going to be able to maintain their calm that much more. So, you know, the coverages, I saw the Bears stemming a lot. I thought there was some good disguise happening pre-snap, at least good to my eye. They weren't fooling Jared Goff with it, but it wasn't like the Bears were just this static defense at the third level, just letting Jared Goff kind of know what they were in at all times and carving them up. But once they got the ball snapped, you know, they run their motion. Goff and Amon-Ra, the sun god, knows exactly what the defense is in. And so once the ball gets snapped, then all right, you're showing us, man, we know exactly where we want to go with it. And that was a matchup that continued to get exploited. And that's where the most surprising part was not only the consistency, the volume of man that they ran, but where they kind of continued to allow Amon-Ra to sort of locate CeeDee Deuce over and over again in those scenarios without getting them some additional help.
Well, and I feel like the thought process, at least at the beginning of the year, was, it's cool. Our front four is amazing. And they were spending in the top 10 on defense out of NFL teams. And it was like the Swaggy P. Nick Young meme where you shoot the three and then you go back and face the camera with your hands in the air smiling and it's way offline. And that's where I'm kind of at with this is your best laid plans with your healthiest and most expensive unit isn't producing enough to make up for the sins of what's happening in the secondary.
And it's juxtaposed with, you know, some of the other moves that were made that have worked out really well, like notably on the offensive line, of course. And a lot of this does look different. This is just not the world the Bears are in. But if Jalen Johnson were healthy, which he's obviously not, and I respect so much his willingness to get back out there so quickly and try to fight with his team. And it's kind of the hope that I was referencing last week where we can hope that he becomes this enhanced version of himself that looks more like the healthy version of Jalen Johnson, but it's just not there yet. And the burst, the suddenness to be able to react, to get out of his pedal and convert downhill and you know, try to get into the body of receivers, invade their personal space with confidence, that's just not there for Jalen. And so, you know, whether you're talking Jalen Johnson, Montez Sweat, Tremaine Edmonds, that there are guys who are, you know, at the top of the roster from an expectations perspective, who when they're playing at an elite level, the defense looks drastically different. When they're not, then that's where it, as amazing a story as Nashawn Wright has been this season, but you know, him getting exposed in coverage, that's not necessarily the outlier. He's not the guy you come in kind of hopeful will be dominant for you. I thought Jaquan Brisker really played one of his better games of the season last night. He was kind of all over the place, mm-hmm. both versus the run, versus the pass, but the rest of the secondary just wasn't really on point. And as much as anything, Detroit's offense was remarkably on point. And that juxtaposed with the Bears having kind of this malaise in the way they were getting after things for a lot of the game. The Lions were the team that looked a lot more engaged in winning the regular season finale.
So that juxtaposition, as we continue our conversation with Anthony here on, here on Raheemy Harrison, Grody, listen, first half, I'm looking at this offense and I'm wondering, why are you not running the ball better? Not even more, but just better. Nine carries, 31 yards, that's 3.4 pop. That's not what we've become accustomed to here. And then when you look at Caleb Williams, yes, Colston Loveland was doing his thing. DJ Moore had the one catch, but they didn't target Jahdae Walker, who obviously had the big touchdown. They didn't target, more importantly, Luther Burden, trying to get him the ball in a handoff situation. I wonder, going forward, what can they change about the offense? Because I'm resigned to the fact that defense is just going to be what the defense is. But the offense is the thing that I think Ben Johnson had him irate. And he told us as much after the game.
And if the offense starts faster, then the defense is in a position to play downhill at the opponent in a different way. And so as far as just, in a way, almost grasping at straws for how can the Bears get more out of their defense. What I started pointing to last week was hoping that Tremaine Edmonds, TJ Edwards being on the field next to each other week after week. And we did see some base packages where DeMarco Jackson was on the field more yesterday. Now, you know, how much does that really give you? You know, he's DeMarco Jackson. He's not Tremaine Edmonds. So, you know, your expectations have to be reasonable for that. But they did get back to some of those three linebacker sets on defense. And there are guys who you can be hopeful will continue to get better the more time they're on the field, but the clock is ticking here. So how realistic is that between what we saw yesterday and by the time they touch the field Saturday night, that it's going to have a drastically different look to it? The Bears' offense getting off to a faster start can impact the Bears' defense, not only just their life force to take the field with that extra juice, that extra energy, playing with that extra heartbeat because the Bears, has gotten them a lead, but then also it can dictate the terms of the opponent. If you are able to start fast and put some early points on the board, now you get Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love starting to chase a little bit when you take the field on Saturday night. It's a position that, as much as the Bears defense has struggled in a wide variety of ways throughout the majority of the season, but to have a Bears offense that allows them to take the field with a lead more frequently, then that could be something, as opposed to everybody playing catch up in the second half. That will aid the defense if you get the offense off to a faster start.
What about the high-stakes nature of Bears-Green Bay for a third time this season, Big Ant? You like this matchup for the Bears?
I do. I mean, you know, I know there's a lot of Bears fans who were dreading it a little bit, just the idea that Green Bay knows this team so well, and frankly, Green Bay outplayed the Bears for the majority of those two games, and the record is 1-1, but you start adding up the quarters or the individual series overall, Green Bay graded out much better in the two matchups against the Bears than the Bears graded out against them. So there's a lot of that's worthy of concern. I was talking to Dan Weider about it last week when I was filling in on the afternoon show. It would put a different tinge to the offseason if the season was ended by a loss to the Packers. But yet, and still, that's the challenge. Well, two things. One, the NFC West teams are just better. So as far as having a shot to win this first game, I feel better about the odds of beating the Packers than I do about any of those teams from the NFC West. But even beyond that, just the challenge of facing Green Bay again is exciting. I'm confident it's exciting to the players and those guys in House Hall. So I know the apprehension about the game will be higher for the fans because it's the Packers and because you don't want them to get eliminated by Green Bay. I'm confident the players in the locker room, the coaches in the meeting room, one thing, you know this squad already. And another thing, it enhances the gravity of the feel of this game. It's an opportunity that you don't always get, even in a playoff game especially, to have your arch rival, your chief nemesis, be the one that you're taking the field against with the season on the line. This is something the Bears should relish.
Anthony, how much of the Bears game plan for the playoffs do you think is going to look different? Because Ben Johnson talked multiple times about how simple the plan was this week. I think he didn't want to put a lot on tape going into playoff game number one.
I think that's fair. While at the same time, like, you've seen Green Bay twice here in the last month already, right? So I don't even know that there's a lot the Bears could put on film that would surprise Green Bay by now. Jeff Hafley has really had a good bead on the Bears offense up to this point. Matt LaFleur has had a really good bead on the Bears defense up to this point. So yeah, there will be schematic wrinkles, I'm sure. There will be adjustments to get made here, and perhaps that's a part of what goes into some of the things we saw game planning wise yesterday also. But in the end, because the players know each other really well by now, and these coaching staffs have game planned for each other so much here down the stretch, a lot of it is going to come down to execution. A lot of it is going to come down to preparedness and mastering the moment. And that's where the Bears, that's where this team who hasn't been on this stage in this moment in the postseason before, it's new territory for them, new territory for Ben Johnson. So putting a good game plan together, yeah, that's got to happen during the week leading into it on a short week. But in the end, the players got to go out there and make some plays.
Anthony Heron, we always appreciate the time. Thanks so much for coming on with us. Where can we hear or see you next?
Oh, so game being on Saturday night makes the weekend a little more interesting for me because I'm actually going to be on NBC on Saturday called the All-American Bowl. That's a game I've been doing every year for them. And players like Caleb Williams was an All-American Bowl participant years ago. And you know, all these stars that rolled through the game. I'm going to be on NBC down in San Antonio on Saturday, man. So I'm still working through some things, getting the schedule figured out and seeing how much of this we can still make work. I am shocked, by the way. I don't know if you guys have talked about it yet. Maybe it'll come up later in the week. Shocked. Bears-Packers is the game that was Saturday on Amazon Prime. Like, this screams Sunday Night Football. This screams Monday Night Football with all the eyeballs that would come with it on the biggest shows in the sport.
I'm not surprised that Amazon was like, oh, Saturday night again after what just happened? I'm in.
I think it's less about that and just doing the basic math. It's called market size. Have you checked out the market size of those two teams that are going to be on Sunday night?
Did Amazon have the first pick or something?
No. I'm saying Sunday Night Football, putting the two largest markets that are taking part in a football game on Sunday Night Football makes the most sense from an NFL standpoint when you're talking about Boston and the New England area and, of course, Los Angeles.
I suppose.
I'm more with Big Ann on this one.
You got your meatball hats on.
I think the only truth in the timing is you don't want the Saturday 3:30.
That's the one, and
that was always reserved for the Texans when they were in the playoffs. So I feel like not having the Saturday 3:30 is that's the one where you're like, meh. Like, didn't that go to an NFC South team? Didn't that go to the Panthers?
I haven't compared the raw numbers of the primetime ratings from throughout the season. I have a hard time believing that the run the Bears have been on this year and the fanaticism that's there, not only in Chicago, but all the national shows spend every second they can talking about the Bears almost as much as they talk about the Cowboys this year. So I think there's a degree of eyeballs, and I'm surprised that both NBC and ABC ESPN passed up on.
Yeah, I feel that. If you think we're exhausting, watch the national guys. Thanks as always, Ant. Good luck on the call. Get some Mitiera for me in San Antonio. That was Anthony Heron joining us via Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score, and our Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Coming up next here on 670 The Score, we want to take your calls again. What do you think about the Bears getting to the playoffs? Did you see something in the offensive game plan that maybe you think might come up again against the Green Bay Packers? How do you feel about the Bears' last two games against the Packers? And yeah, what do you think about watching an important game on a Saturday night again? We'll discuss it all. 312-644-6767 on the Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
And Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Raheemi Harris and Grody on 670 The Score. We're taking your calls following the Bears' loss to the Lions, but they get another game. Playoffs, Packers, Saturday, 312-644-6767. And also just want to update you on what's been going on in this Black Monday in the NFL. We know it well, but we don't have to deal with it today. Not today. Pete Carroll reportedly out in Las Vegas, that per Adam Schefter. Also, the Cardinals have fired head coach Jonathan Gannon, that also breaking through Adam Schefter. Jordan Schultz on top of that one as well. And we're hearing that Cardinals GM Monty Ostenfort will be back. And the discussion also surrounds what's going to happen per se with Ian Cunningham, for example, because there are GM openings that are happening. NFL Network says that the Cardinals will retain Monty Ostenfort as well. The GM will lead the search for the new head coach after Jonathan Gannon was fired. And the Dolphins have requested interview Tariq Ahmad, Alec Halabi, John McKay, and Josh Williams for their vacant GM job. Ian Cunningham's name not on the list, at least not from that recent post. So we're back on the phones, 312-644-6767, and we go to Tony in Joliet. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Layla, Marshall, my friends. Grody.
What's up?
Hey, guys. You know, I wasn't willing to call today because I'm so upset about the game, and I'm not upset. Look, if you would have told me, Marshall, if you would have told me before the game that with 2 minutes left, Detroit would only have 16 points, I would have been like, the defense rocks. And going off we saw last week and say, what do you think the Bears have? I'd be like, well, the way they look, they're going for Caleb's record. Let's get it. I'd say Bears had 30 points. At that point, and then the way the game went down, to come in flat, and you guys know, every team says, when you go into the playoffs, you want to be playing your best ball. That was one of the worst games I've seen. And for them to have their coach, knowing what happened to him when they lost in Detroit and what that game meant to him, he was smoking after that game because it was a letdown on everything. He felt he let himself down for not going on fourth. I know we feel real optimistic. We're trying to be. But I'm having a huge watch party. My watch party is going to be a celebratory of what this season was, not on a Green Bay curse. I mean, Green Bay's favorite coming into this game already. I'm going to have fun with the game. I'm going to have fun with the season. We know we have things we need to fix. But God bless it, guys. And you guys had a great season. And hopefully we get a win and we get going. But thanks for taking my call. I love you guys.
Thanks as always, Tony. And I think that's fine. This should be a icing on the cake type of season. That's the hard part, is when you see winnable games and you want the team to win more, or you see opportunities, you go back into that evaluation mode. But when you look at it from the big picture, the fact that we're talking about making the playoffs this year, that's all a bonus.
It is a bonus, but at the same time, and I think Grody is really on line with this, if the Bears lose to the Packers, there will be a segment of the fans who will not only be happy, but they will not view this season as a success. And that is so foolhardy.
Well, it's not necessarily just that. I mean, you have to view certain things as a success, or you will have to view a lot of what happened this year, especially the offense. What's going to happen, though, is 5-6 years from now, the way we will characterize this season is, oh, yeah, that season where the Bears were, but they lost to the Green Bay Packers. That's going to be what's attached to the season if they are to lose to Green Bay. That's upsetting, but it's realistic.
If they don't make the playoffs next year. Yeah, that's the thing about it. I'll look back at, you can't, I don't want to see this be the defining year of anybody's tenure. You know, that's what you don't want to have happen. You want to say, okay, they lost in the wild card, go get them next year. Here's what you have to do to improve, to get to be a winning playoff team. You know, that's what it should be. That's what should be the next goal, if that is the case and they lose on Saturday. We continue on the phones, 312-644-6767. Anthony is in D.C. Hey, Anthony.
Anthony.
What's up, people? What's up? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I got a question in regards to what you're asking. So basically, we've exceeded a bevy of things that, you know, nobody saw we were doing, like I usually say. But we have a ton to work on. You guys would agree, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
So basically, this question that I'm having to pose is, if we know specifically it would be D-line, if we know we have to fix that, yeah, I'm not saying that we can't run the table and probably hit the big game, but even if we lose, which I don't think we will this week, but even if we do, with the bevy of things that we've exceeded and, you know, work still having to be done, would you guys be happy going into next year with the team? Let's say we won the Super Bowl this year. Would you be happy knowing that, okay, we kind of got there luckily, or would you, and not win another Super Bowl for 40 years? Or would you guys,
yo,
we had some sustainability.
Wow, what is the opportunity cost of a Super Bowl?
Anthony is walking into what I like to call a sports monkey's paw.
Oh, man, well, we've done it once with the 85 Bears.
We kind of had a sports monkey's paw last week when Patrick Manley asked, if you have to pick one and only one, is it Caleb Williams or Ben Johnson? Ooh. So this is a sports monkey's paw. Here's how I sit with this. Like we talk about with making the playoffs, sometimes the breaks go your way. We've mentioned all the backup quarterbacks the Bears have faced this season, for example. We've mentioned how sometimes the injuries are not as much of a problem for your team as they are for others. That factors into this. If you make it to the Super Bowl and you win it, I'm taking the Super Bowl. I'll worry about the future later. I don't know what the heck is happening tomorrow, and I've said that before. So that's how I feel about this.
Tomorrow is not promised to us. And if you say there's a Super Bowl available to you and with it comes a 40-year drought, you just take the Super Bowl. Because guess what? You can have a 40-year drought without a Super Bowl.
How are you feeling about breaking a 108-year curse and not knowing when the next one's coming?
Oh, man. 10-year anniversary special coming soon at the Cubs convention.
Okay,
Joe Madden's going to be there.
Quarter of the way there, guys. Quarter of the way.
Oh, man.
That's a good question by Anthony. We have more to come here on Raheemy Harrison Grody. We will take your calls at 12:45 as well if you missed it, so call us back then. But in the meantime, we have five pressing questions. Pressing. There are five on a segment. Join us next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.